Well, I thought I'd start off with a request that you remember the our little donation box in the back, not because you've not been doing that, but because I think it would be appropriate for this congregation to make a contribution to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. We can make that donation right here in Tyler, and it will go for relief of the victims of the tornado in Gerald, Texas. I think that would be appropriate that we do that. And as this announcement goes around the country, you can also remember the Red Crosses in your area. You can do that as local congregations, or you can send it here and we can make sure it gets to where it needs to go to. That's the kind of thing that we can do without a lot of trumpet sounds. You know, it's just the right thing to do. So let us consider that today here in the local congregation as well as around the country. One of the things that is sure to happen in our human existence is that of becoming weary, tired, worn out, lacking strength and energy. Have one's patience tried? Have I touched on anything yet that sounds familiar? I think so. Easy to become weary. If you've seen the movie Blazing Saddles, oh, some of you have, I can tell. I can tell that you have. It's an irreverent satire, shall we say, and one of the elements that's in it is Madeline Kahn singing, "I'm Tired." If you recall, I won't give you all the text of that, but she does exclaim how tired she is of this and that and one other thing and another. It's a parody kind of Marlene Dietrich, if you kind of recognize that. There have been other songs that have been written talking about how tired a person gets or how feeble they've become and how weary they are. And many times the circumstances of life, perhaps the circumstances of the society around us or even decisions of other folk, cause us to be weary, to be tired. Some people say bone tired. And some people, like my mother used to say, "I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired." Because we all reach a point in our existence. The longer we live, perhaps the more inclined we are to express how tired we are. But it is the natural thing. It's very natural. And sometimes we even become tired of our calling. Can you believe anybody would ever be tired of their calling in Christ? But people do get tired. I want to talk about weariness today. I guess we can title this The Weary Blues. There is a blues, by the way, of that title, The Weary Blues. I won't give you the text of it because it's not appropriate for our occasion, but getting the blues, as some people describe it, is to become tired of something, to be wearied about something. And it's so natural, I thought we would take a look through the scriptures here to examine that question. If you'll turn first to Genesis, the 27th chapter, an unlikely reference in one sense of weariness, but in the context of life as it's lived, decisions made by various people, we find here Rebekah making an exclamation, Rebekah being the wife of Isaac, the mother of Esau and Jacob. She makes a statement in Genesis 27 and verse 46. This is after she has given instruction to Jacob to hit the road, Jake. Hit the road, Jake, and don't you come back until I call you or send a message to you. You go over with my brother Laban until your brother Esau cools off about the thing you did to him. You tricked him. You took his birthright. And I suppose in one sense, Esau was tired of that. He was tired and weary of that. But Rebekah is who we're going to look at here in verse 46. She says, "I'm tired or wearied of living because of the daughters of Heth," or the Hittites. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughter of Heth, she's telling this, of course, to Isaac, is a justification as to why she sent Jacob off to a different land, the land of her family. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Now, on the surface, that doesn't make a lot of sense until you turn back to the 26th chapter and the last two verses of the 26th chapter of Genesis. And it reads, "And when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite," or the daughters of Heth. "And he wed another lady, Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah." Sometimes decisions made by others can cause us to be weary. Now, there may be some parents in the congregation today who have been wearied by decisions their children have made. That's a natural thing. No question about weariness coming to us, where it saps our strength and saps our energy. But the underwriting question for us to consider today is, can we become wearied of our calling? Look at what Job says, and certainly Job is a fascinating character to examine for the trials that he went through, the test that he went through, the confrontation with the reality of God. He was tested probably as much as anybody has ever been tested. And he comes out at the end smelling like a rose. But while he was going through it, he made some observations. Chapter 7, if you will. Job 7, we'll begin in verse 1. Throughout the book of Job, you find him making expressions of this or noting his weariness. It says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, "Is not man forced to labor on earth? And are not his days like the days of a hired man, as a slave who pants for the shade, as a hired man who eagerly waits for his wages? So I am allotted months of vanity and nights of wearisomeness. They are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? But the night continues, and I am continually tossing until dawn. My flesh is clothed with worms and a crust of dirt. My skin hardens and runs. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to an end without hope." That's a weary person. That's a worn out person. That person is tired of being tired. And some of us, of course, have come to that perspective, whether it's about just life in general, because when you get to be a certain age, it kind of gets to you, but also maybe about the intimacies of life, the intricacies of life as it applies to our calling. He further says in the third chapter, turn back there with me, chapter 3 and verse 11. And Job again says, "Why did I not die at birth?" Now, I don't know if anyone has ever said that in this room, but maybe you have. Why was I born to these circumstances that I've experienced? And the circumstances of life can weary us, can wear us down, just totally sap us of our strength and energy. It says, "Why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, and why the breasts that I should suck? For now I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then. I would have been at rest. With kings and with counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with the princes who have gold, or who had gold, who were filling their houses with silver, or like a miscarriage which is discarded, I would not be. As infants that never saw light, there the wicked cease from raging." In death, he's describing it. Now, I've heard this quote from my youth, and it's talking about Job and his perspective of how beautiful death would have been from the beginning. He says, "There the wicked in death cease from troubling, And there the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there. The slave is free from his master. A time when you don't have to punch a clock, you don't have to answer to anybody, you don't have to respond to anybody, you don't have to deal with anybody, because you're just weary of having to answer to someone or to respond to someone or to interact with someone. That's a natural perspective that comes to us. Many of us feel like Job. But the issue of our calling and becoming weary with that is probably best underscored, at least in my estimation today. If I thought about it some more and scoured through the scriptures some more, I would come up with another one, I'm sure. But let's look at Elijah in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We'll look at the first part of the chapter. We'll come back to a couple of verses later. But right now, we want to look at a man who certainly had an awesome calling, a spectacular calling. It was so powerful that Mendelssohn was so inspired to write one of the most beautiful oratorios that has ever been written, called Elijah, where the character, of course, of Elijah is confronting Ahab and Jezebel and the priests of Baal, so devastated them on the occasion when he prayed that famous prayer, O Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, this day let it be known that thou art God and I am thy servant. And the fire that comes down and licks up the sacrifice, and Elijah commands that all of the priests of Baal, about 400 of them, be put to death. That could be very exhilarating. You think you'd be on top of the world. You have shown who God is and that you are his servant and that there should be no mistaking that. And yet, in chapter 19 we read, verse 1, Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Now, Jezebel is a different kind of a person, you know, male or female. She's the kind of person who won't take no for an answer, and she simply is not impressed with the work of Elijah at this point and says, send this message to Elijah. So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That's a warning. And his response to that warning is what's instructive for us when we talk about being weary. Verse 3 says, And he was afraid. The man who had just called fire down from heaven and licked up the sacrifice with all the water out there on the altar, and then commanded that 400 plus priests be put to death by the sword, becomes afraid at the voice of Jezebel. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself, verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down on a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. That's a person who's weary. That's a person who's tired and worn out. He says, in his words, It is enough. One of the moving arias that's ever been written, when Elijah sings, It is enough. Lord, now take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And what we do sometimes when weariness overtakes us, whether it's a physical weariness or a mental one, he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. Have you ever been so tired of something, having to face something or to deal with something, that the only escape is, I'll just go to sleep? Except when you wake up, it's still there. Here's Elijah. Elijah. You know, one of these paragons of virtues. One of the great prophets. A significant individual in the annals of biblical history, and yet he experienced the same kind of problem or concern that many of us may experience. And then, of course, the command from an angel who came and touched him and said to him, arise and eat. We'll come back to that because it ties in with our discussion of the weary blues and how sometimes we become weary of our calling. Society can be very harsh. The pressures that come upon us from it and the concerns we have about the way things are going. And you don't have to look very far. Take Tyler, for instance. They had a board meeting of the Tyler Independent School District on Thursday night to discuss whether or not it would be appropriate to have those who were supposed to graduate and fulfill all of their graduation requirements, including passing the TAS test, that is the Texas Academic Achievement Assessment of Skills, the TAS test. There's a rule in place that says if you don't pass that test, you don't participate in graduation. It's been in place. Well, a few parents whose children were affected by that petitioned the board to recant or to review that and to change it. My question is, why lower the standard? Why teach them that if you don't make it, well, we'll just make it easier for you? You didn't fulfill the requirement, but we'll just put it aside. We'll let you march across the stage and get a blank diploma as if you had passed. Now, that seems like a slight thing, but when you get older on a job and you perhaps are a contractor, will you cut corners there in the houses you build? Will you cut corners in filling out your taxes or some other deal that needs to be done? Will you find an easy avenue? Well, that's just on a local level. You expand it out from here and let the radiation of that kind of attitude approach, and you'll see why we become weary from Washington or Austin or wherever it is that we may look and see. Whether it's in New York or Jerusalem or any other capital of the world, we look around and we see the society as it is, and it is wearisome to us, and I'm sure that's what Elijah felt. Look at what I've done. I have stood up for the Lord. I have been, as he says, very zealous for the Lord. And now they seek my life. I'm tired. I think I'll just go to sleep. In fact, I wish I didn't wake up. That's how it is in the natural as we look at the conditions around us. Now, sin, too, causes weariness, whether our response to it or God's response. Let's look at what David instructs us regarding in the sixth chapter of Psalms. Psalm 6. Verse 6. We'll start in verse 1. This is a prayer for mercy in a time of trouble. I'm sure Elijah should have referred to this, could have referred to this had he thought about it a bit. O Lord, do not rebuke me in thine anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness, for there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol of the grave, who will give you thanks? Verse 6, I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eyes have wasted away with grief. It has become old because of my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Eternal has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly dismayed. Then they shall turn back. They shall suddenly be ashamed. Here, David identifies the spectrum from dismay to sorrow, from weariness, and a recognition that there is relief. He also wrote, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Because weariness is a natural tendency within us. It's a natural obstacle to overcome, a natural breach of our relationship with God. And so we must find instruction from the pages of the Bible of those who were confronted with the very same thing that some of us may be experiencing. All right. Chapter 69 of Psalms. David again provides instruction for us. Psalm 69. We'll start in verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my soul. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. Verse 3 says, I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my Lord. We often say and pronounce, Thy kingdom come, as we look around not only at the conditions around us, but perhaps in our own lives, and how we stand before God, and how we are responsive or lacking our response to Him. And as a result of it, we are concerned. Yes, sin causes us weariness, to be sure, as David experienced and expressed it. But his response to it was to supplicate God, to pray to God for relief. We read in chapter 6 that that relief was going to come, and that he was sure of its coming. We can be weary, be a weariness, I should say, to others. Let's take a look at that in Proverbs 25. We can be a weariness to others. Sometimes we only think it's them towards us. Chapter 25 of Proverbs identifies something for us. Chapter 25 and verse 17. It says, let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house. I'm going to modify that a little bit and say, in your neighbor's business. How about that? Keep your nose out of your neighbor's business. It says, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Anybody ever dipped your nose in somebody else's house or somebody else's business? You know, because, well, you just care. And find out that after a while, the person becomes weary with you. It's a natural thing. We have a natural curiosity and a natural indulgence of wanting to get into other folks' business, but the fact is that the Proverbs tell us to avoid that. Don't do that. Let's not be a weariness to other folk. As much as we may be wearied by circumstances, situations, decisions rendered by others, it's important that we not be a weariness to other folk. Now, we also can become weary at God's correction. Now, that's a tough one. But again, in Proverbs, the third chapter, and these are the collections of the important words. These are points of wisdom, observations, instructions in righteousness, if you will. And so, chapter 3 and verse 11 says, my son, my daughter, my child, do not be weary at the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Now, I go back to Elijah and I think about how he must have felt. That was not the only time he was confronting with God, the one we just read. There are other events to come along a bit later in his life as he wrestles with fulfilling his commission and fulfilling his calling and so forth. But he was being disciplined. He was being refined, if you will, for the task that God had called him to. It says here, don't reject or be weary of the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Okay, we'll take that in advisement, under advisement, and consider that we shouldn't do that. And here's why. We should be careful about it, because God Can he become weary with us? Can he become weary with perhaps our sins or the things that would separate us from him? Oh, it's one thing to say, yeah, you know, I'm getting tired, I'm worn out, and I'm ready for a vacation, I'm ready to retire, I'm ready to sit on the sidelines and let somebody else do the work. Here's what the scriptures say. Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah was a magnificent prophet, to be sure. I guess we could say all of them were. But in particular, Isaiah here, for he says in the first chapter, beginning in verse 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah." Now, everybody knows Sodom and Gomorrah had already been destroyed. So who could he possibly be talking to except the folk that to whom he wrote? "What are you multiplied? What are your multiplied sacrifices to me?" says the Lord. "I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle." Now, some people take this passage and these passages here and suggest that God was tired of the holy days and tired of the Sabbath, and therefore it was okay to change it or to do away with them. No such thing is meant. What God is saying is that, yeah, those days are there, but it's what you guys do with it that bothers me, that wearies me as we read on. "I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Their incense is an abomination to me. New moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly." You notice he compares the two. There's iniquity and then there's the solemn assembly, and you're bringing both of them together. "I'm tired of it," he says. "I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them." Wow. "So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of bloodshed." Now, that has a literal meaning, of course, in the times of Isaiah and when he was writing, but it has a strict meaning for us today. It means of how we can't be so weary that we come to God any kind of way. There are people congregating with hate in their hearts, animus, viciousness, character assassination, bloody hands. And yet, they assemble on the Sabbaths and the holy days. Now, God says, "I will be weary of that." So when we think about how weary we get with our calling, or just tired of life and tired of a job and tired of circumstances around us, or maybe just tired of other people, think about it again. Reconsider it again, or that's a redundancy, but just reconsider it. Reconsider it, because God here says that when you come before me with your sacrifices of your lips, of your offerings, and your observance of the holy days and the Sabbaths, if you come any old way, I will be weary of it. Wow. Thought there was a way of escape. Chapter 43 of Isaiah and verse 24. We'll start at verse 22. It says, "Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifice. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, neither have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. That's a strong injunction, a strong point to consider as we think about how tired we may be of this and of that, and maybe even in the service and the sacrifice and the volunteerism which we have allowed the church, or not allowed, but the church has operated on the basis of volunteerism. Well, what do you think? God here tells us what wearies him and what we should be cautious about. Jeremiah 15, verse 5. Just establishing the fact that God can become weary, and his weariness is significant compared to our own. Jeremiah 15 and verse 5. Indeed, who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem, or who will mourn for you, or who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? You have forsaken me, declares the Lord. You keep going backward, so I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am tired or weary of relenting. There comes a time when God's patience runs out, when his weariness becomes significant. And it's not a tiredness as we talk in the physical terms. It is just simply that enough is enough. So when we compare the two weariness, on the one hand, we can be weary of one another. In congregations, it happens. On the job, we can become weary. In our interpersonal relationships through our families or in the neighborhood or wherever it might be with the society around us, that's good. That's one thing that's natural. But we must not let it reach the point to where our response is one that God can return and say, I am weary of you and your approach and your attitude and your style. There is a good weariness, however. Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. Jeremiah 20, there is a good weariness. Jeremiah describes it to us. And it's part of what we are supposed to be about as a church, as a mission. I hear frequently individuals who perhaps are worshiping with other Sabbath-keeping groups, and they respond to the Church of God International by saying, you know, you guys really are preaching the word. You are doing a great work. And we may not be, but we appreciate what you're doing. And we call them closet members of the CGI who support us, who write to us and receive the tapes. But maybe, in one case in the prayer breakfast the other day, there was a lady down in McAllen, Texas. We have no people in McAllen, Texas. That's way down south. And as a result, she attends a Messianic Jewish synagogue for services, for worship and for fellowship. All right? And there are places like that or things like that all over the place. So let's not be mistaken that our mission and our work is over. Oh, no. There's still a lot to be done. We can't be weary of doing the work. Here's what Jeremiah points out to us here in chapter 20 and verse 9. He says, verse 8, for each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because of me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. Now, of course, we are not out there on the front line preaching. But there's a man who sits in the room today who has experienced that derision. Sure, absolutely. But in a microcosm of our support and our activity, and perhaps as we personally share our own witness, you may have been derided. And people have said, you're crazy. You must be nuts. I was asked the other day, are you still with Ambassador College? I said, well, actually, I haven't been with Ambassador College a long time. I'm with the Church of God International. And we went through the whole history of it for a brief moment. And, oh, okay. And yes, I'm with Garner Ted Armstrong. Oh, okay. That's around Tyler. You know, they like to know these things. So I'm not ashamed of that. And so I express it. But within us, we must have this attitude that Jeremiah is talking about here in verse 9. But if I say, I will not remember him, speaking of God, or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a fire, a burning fire. I heard preachers say this in my youth up. It was like fire shut up in my bones. I could not keep quiet. Could not keep still. It says, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. That's a good weariness. Weary of holding in. I don't want to keep it a secret. I've got to share it. I've got to tell somebody. And if it means, as the old spiritual says, if I cannot sing like angels, if I cannot preach like Paul, I can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. I mean, the principle is clear. Weary? Tired? Wanting to sit on the sidelines? I don't think we have scriptural reference for that. Chapter 6 and verse 11. Jeremiah again, in a iteration of his perspective. Chapter 6 and verse 11. But I am full of wrath of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. Pour it out on the children in the street, and on the gathering of young men together, and both husband and wife shall be taken, the aged and the very old. In other words, I got to tell somebody, Jeremiah knew his calling. He knew that he was required to do what God had set before him to do. Sometimes it's easy to let somebody else do it and hope that somebody else comes along to help out, but that is not how it works. This is a good kind of weariness that we need to examine more and more. Well, as the time evaporates from me, I keep my eye on the clock and recognize I've got to bring this to a close lest you become weary. Let's just recite or refer to Matthew 25 and the 10 virgins. That's an interesting thing. You can turn over to it. I'm not going to be reading any scripture out of it, but just to at least acknowledge, why did they go to sleep? We already read about Elijah going to sleep, right? Because he was tired. He wanted to escape. He wanted to not have to deal with the reality of a threat against his life. And so here these 10 virgins are, with their lamps trimmed and burning, and half of them had sufficient oil, and the other half ran out of oil, but they all went to sleep, because we all can become weary. We all can be tired. We all can have our patience tried, and we all can lack energy and strength. So there's the story, and we know the outcome of it, that five of them were awakened in time. Sometimes a cat nap may help. A little respite from the weariness that comes to us. Maybe gather the family up, or even if yourself, you need to go away for some days, like Christ did. He would go away, commune with his Father in the fashion that was his tradition, to be revitalized, to be strengthened, to be reinvigorated. That's something to be done. So as you consider the 10 virgins, they became weary enough to go to sleep. Know that it can happen to anybody. But another thing my mother used to say, she says, I may give out, but I'm not going to give up. She's 73 now, and so I'm sure she's getting a little more tired. Still keeping those children, you know. She thinks that she considers that it keeps us moving rather than to sit and atrophy. So that's fine, but when I go up there next week, my sisters and I are going to sit down and ask her, maybe we're going to ask her. We still can't tell her to maybe lower the threshold of the children, you know, from 6 or 7 or whatever it is, maybe down to 2 or something like that. Because she says, and she lives by this principle, I may give out, but I won't give up. And I have a first cousin whose funeral was last Wednesday. Let me tell you the story about Freddie, because it's about not giving up, though his body gave out. Freddy came into the Worldwide Church of God in the early 80s, and I didn't even know of his existence, except I'd heard my father mention that I had a first cousin. He was a product of Herbert Armstrong's late ministry. Now, the interesting thing about it is my uncle used to tell me when I'd visit him in Columbus, Georgia, you know, yeah, Skip, he's your first cousin and all of that, and he comes over and he cuts my grass, he takes care of me and all that kind of thing, but you know, on Saturdays, he has a meeting he goes to. Oh, a meeting. I thought maybe Seventh-day Adventist, and I knew there was a Worldwide Church of God in Columbus, and I thought, well, possibly, but we never talked about it. Well, 6 years ago, when my dad died and I did the funeral, the funeral was on Saturday because of convenience, and then in national cemeteries, they don't have burials on the weekend. I had to wait till Monday for the burial, and Freddie came to the burial because he was at church on the Sabbath. And we met, became fast, close friends. I mean, we were united by two types of blood, one being the blood of our family and the other the blood of Christ. A couple of years ago, Freddie called me out here at the office when the doctrines had begun to change significantly within the Worldwide Church and said, where should I start sending my tithes? And that was good. A blood relative who, when we talked about it at my dad's funeral, a burial, he says, you know, we're going to be busy on the last great day because up the road from where my dad's buried is a cemetery and a church where I've got my grandmother, who I never knew, she was just dead before I was born, and uncles and distant family members, they're all buried in that cemetery. So when the last great day materializes, we figured we'd be busy over there. Freddie died at church on a Sabbath. He gave the opening prayer on that particular Sabbath, and when he fell over, he was talking to a fellow I baptized back in November when I was over there last. They were talking about the kingdom. Now that's what I call giving out, but not up. What say you? What do you want to die? You know, what when it's your time to go to sleep, wouldn't it be like Mr. Armstrong's grandmother who came home from church in Pasadena one day and sat down in her chair and went to sleep at age 96 or about there? Oh, it's easy to give up. Everything within my body wants to give up and just sit on the side and let somebody else. I've done my time. Anybody ever say that? When we look around for volunteers and we have the attitude, well, I can't do that, or let somebody else do it, we are giving in to weariness. And my question to you is, will God respond to our weariness by saying, you can't be more weary than I am with your response to your calling? It's very important. Now, you need to have sufficient oil. That's the story of the, if you want to get 3 points on how to deal with the issue of weariness, have sufficient oil, like the 10 virgins or the 5 that did. And then as Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you by the laying on of the presbyters or the elders. Stir up that gift, because each of you who have been baptized and had hands laid upon you has been given a gift. The gift of God's Holy Spirit. You have to stir it up sometimes. And then the third thing to do is to plant wisely and bear good fruit. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians 6, and I'm watching you, Mark, for a signal as to how much time I got left. Don't want any of this to be left off. Okay, thank you. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, it says here, if a man, a person, be taken in a fault or a trespass, you who are spiritual will restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Could elaborate on that, but no need. at this point, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall with the flesh reap corruption. I'm tired. If that's what you sow, that's what you reap. And it's natural to be tired. That's why we need a rest every now and then, but you got to get back on the job. He who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's the benefit. And let us not, here's that point, lose heart or be weary in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. He repeats this over in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, let's see, I think it is, I'll give it to you, 2 Thessalonians 3:13, in the context of people who cheat, people who live off the church, people who refuse to work, people who are busybodies. In the context of that, he says, don't be weary in doing the right thing. That's important for us to consider. There are rewards for us when we do the tasks set before us. There's a reward. Galatians 6 points it out. Eternal life is the result. There are other scriptures that you might want to write down and refer to. Isaiah 28:12. And Isaiah 50 and verse 4, if you want to take a look at those, because they will instruct you that there's a reward. Also Isaiah 57 and verse 10. Just take a look at them. But there's an old spiritual I like. And the words are so appropriate for this sermon. It says, I don't feel no ways tired. Those people knew how to express it. Oh, they could have been erudite. I don't feel particularly weary today. But no, I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. The weary blues can be transformed. And the words of the other song that I have in mind, I came to Jesus as I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad.